Hey, y'all, welcome back to Erase the State. Matty K here with another episode in the possibly short series of how to defeat the state by growing vegetables and chickens in your backyard. So for this week's episode, I want to invite an internet friend of mine who I've not met yet, but she is one of my favorite authors. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming to the show here. So I follow you on Twitter and have for a while, and you've made some additions to your family, children yeah. and animals. So tell us what sort of things you do. I don't know if you would consider yourself a homesteader, or maybe you do. Yeah, I don't know.
I definitely consider myself a homesteader now. I did not before. You know, all I had were dogs and kids and chickens. But I always kind of had like this idea in the back of my mind that I wanted to be like self-sustainable, right? Like I wanted to be able to feed my family without any outside help. But life is hard and kids are hard. And so I never really took the plunge on that until all this coronavirus stuff happened. And, you know, I just kind of see this as like there's something bigger at play. Like I can't shake that feeling that like, mm-hmm. that there's something more going on than a virus. Right. So, it got really hard for us. I live in a rural area. And it got really hard for us to be able to get all of our grocery items on a pickup list.
Sure.
I don't know if that was the same for everybody or not. But I always do pickup because I have two babies and a 7-year-old. So going inside of a grocery store is very bottom of my list. Like that's something that I hate doing. And so
even when there is
I kind
virus.
Of rely. Right. Virus or not. Right. Because kids put everything in their mouth and they touch everything. And one of them thinks that like they can't behave in a store. And so then they all can't behave in a store. And so I do pickups. Well, coronavirus hit and I could not put anything in my cart. Like I could put a butter in my grocery cart and right. a milk in my grocery cart. But one milk does not feed 5 or more people for longer than a day around here. So I went and bought cows. Like so
that's the next logical step, right?
Yeah. So we put up we threw up a barn and we threw up a fence and I bought cows. And I bought 2 pregnant cows. So that I can milk the moms. Mm-hmm. And eat the babies
there you
because
go.
Yeah. So, I figured that that way, you know, I can have milk and butter and sour cream and ice cream and cheese sure. and, we can sell a calf and butcher a calf, you know, when it's larger, obviously. And then that would provide meat and dairy for my family without having to rely on a grocery store. And you know, we already have chickens for eggs,
right?
So that's nice. The other day I threw a beehive out in the yard and I'm hoping that like bees just want to come live here with us so that we can have honey. You know, I'm not homesteading to make money, but I'm homesteading to be able to feed my family. If it comes down to it, we also, planted everything, like any vegetable that I could get my hands on, I planted. I found seeds for vegetables really hard to find. Mm-hmm. Also, it's kind of like, you know, the libertarian mindset, right? Or like probably, you know, right, we're on Erase the State. So, you know, your mindset is already that the government is trying to be your daddy, but he sucks, right? He's not good at taking care of you and you don't want him to take care of you. You want to go out and do this thing by yourself. And so but like when Corona happened, I saw like a flip switch overnight on how well I was able to provide food for my kids via a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And that was scary. Like, it was very scary because I just thought like that it would, that the, that ball would just kind of roll and get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it'd be harder and harder and harder to get food for my kids. And then, you know, ultimately I would like to not have to go to a grocery store, but I figured if, you know, say it comes down to it, and we end up like Venezuela, right? And you stand outside of your grocery store waiting for your weekly rations,
mm-hmm.
then like, then we have a way to really supplement everything.
Sure. Sure.
We either don't have to go get in that line, or we can't, we can go get in the line, but we'll have enough food for everybody.
Right.
So that was kind of my thought process on like rushing out and making it happen. Going, you know, going from sure. like chickens to a farm overnight.
Yeah. I do think that was pretty, it was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, it was always a thought there, but I just never really acted on it because just, raising kids by itself is a full-time job. Plus I already have a job. So I just kept putting it off until I felt like I couldn't really anymore.
Sure. Sure. So when you first got the chickens, let's go way back.
Yeah.
What was the, what sort of spurred you on to do that? Was that just a, hey, I live in the country now, let's get some chickens? Cause I mean, I certainly want chickens, but mine would have to be a yeah. very stealth coop, and I haven't sold the family on it, and I haven't quite figured out how to do it the best way yet. Cause we're under an HOA covenant and all that bullshit that comes along with that. So they'd have to right. be like super quiet and stealthy, but
I think for you, the best way to do that in a neighborhood with an HOA would be they have like these little A-frame chicken tractors.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's really small and you could have three to four chickens in it. So like they're not really making a whole lot of noise
sure.
and it's movable, right? You move it around your yard and they keep mm-hmm. your grass mowed for you.
Right.
And you would get like 6 eggs a day from 3 or 4 chickens. So, anyway, but for me, yeah, it was mostly just, we live in the country now and I wanted to homestead. And mm-hmm. so I thought that that would be the first way, you know, that'd be the first step. That's the easiest animal to raise. It's the cheapest to start and sure. it immediately gives you something without you really having to do anything. So, you know, as long as you have a coop up and you have some chickens in it, and you throw some feed out there, then you get eggs immediately. It's not as much as, like the cow, you know, you have to raise a cow for like a year before you can eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to go out there and you have to milk it every morning. It's actually, it's work to get something from it where a chicken wasn't.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I've, in my past, when I was in college, I worked for the USDA. I know the big, big evil state, but so yeah. did a little bit of rice farming in Beaumont for the state. And, I really enjoyed that, but it made me realize that growing plants is a lot cooler than growing animals because I could leave and shit didn't go like they didn't die.
Right.
So how does like, you know, chickens are pretty, I don't think it's that big of a deal if you're gone for like a day, right? As long as they get food and water and
oh, yeah.
come home, the they're back out. But
yeah. So the feeder that I have, I just have like this little, it may, I don't know if it's 3 gallon or 5 gallon. It's this little feeder that hangs in there and I fill it twice a week.
Okay.
With pellets.
And is it timed?
No, they just eat at it as okay. they want it.
Okay.
It just, but like I said, once or twice a week, I have to top it off. And their water is the same way. So really they're just kind of like a set it and forget it animal. You go out there and check a couple times a week to make sure that they still have water happening and they yep. still have food. And then I send one of the kids outside to go get the eggs every night.
Sure. So. Sure. But what about the cows? Is that going to affect, you know, family planning and trips and vacations and that sort of thing?
Yeah. definitely. So the cows for right now, we fill up the hay feeder, mm-hmm. and that lasts about a day and a half for them. Because the part of the land that we put them on, you know, so we have 8 acres and most of the acreage is wooded. Mm-hmm. And so where we enclosed them, they have like maybe 3/4 of an acre that's grass and the rest of their, enclosed area is woods. So they eat a lot of hay because they don't have a lot of grass to forage. But anyway, so we go throw like a bale of hay in that hay feeder mm-hmm. And they just kind of have at that. And, I've been taking them cubes every morning just because I wanted to tame them. So okay. These cows came from, an older couple that homesteads and they have like 20 cows. Like this is part of how they make their money is selling cows.
Gotcha.
And so their cows just like live in a pasture and they don't like see them, talk to them, do anything with them. They just have cows. And so I wanted to tame them so that I can milk them.
Right.
So I take them out some cubes, every morning just to get them to like me, and they do now. So before they used to, you know, we got them, it's been like a month now, maybe, but they used to like just hide in the woods when they would see you. And now I can't even come out of my house without them like running up to the gate and mooing and freaking out because they know that I'm going to bring them food.
Right.
And they'll eat the pellets out of your hand and things like that. So, as far as vacationing, my plan is to leave a calf on the mom all the time. Mm-hmm. So that I don't have to milk her, but I can milk her if I want to.
Okay.
And so I would just need somebody to come out here and throw some hay in every night or every morning.
Okay.
For them, but I don't have to like tend to them. I don't have to milk them. If I'm going to milk one, then we just pull the calf at night and put it in a pen. Mm-hmm. So the next morning we can milk the cow. Otherwise I just leave the calf on her all the time. So she doesn't have any issues.
And so how much milk are you getting between the two cows?
Well, the one I'm not milking her yet because she's still pregnant. She is.
Oh, okay.
She should have her baby the end of June, early July.
Gotcha.
The other one we're getting about 2 gallons a day and that's with the calf on her all the time.
Holy shit. So, yeah. That's a lot of milk.
Right. Which is also why I don't want to milk her every day because I get that like some people do that and they have tons and tons and tons of milk. And then they're having to give it away. They're having to sell it I just don't really want to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be able to have like enough milk for the kids to drink and enough to make butter and make some cheese, but sure. I don't need a whole other refrigerator dedicated to milk, you know?
Right.
So this way, the way that I'm doing it, we can milk the cow whenever we need milk. That way none of it's going bad and we're not having to give it away and we're not having to turn it into something, if we don't want to.
That's a pretty good strategy. And I never thought of that before, actually, just, you know, calf on it.
Right. Yeah. Cause a lot of the stuff that you read about them is like, don't get a dairy cow or you're going to be a slave to your house for the rest of your life. And, I'm not really about that. I like to travel. So,
yes.
I just figured, well, you know, naturally a calf would just drink off of its mom. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of what we're doing. And the calf still gets more than enough milk when we do separate them
sure.
to take some, and that in turn keeps our feed and hay costs down too, because the calf is getting so much food from the mom.
Right.
So far, so good.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you have it down pretty well, even though you're like, you know, you're kind of a new mom at all this.
Yeah, definitely.
So what would you recommend to somebody who's looking to get into this? Would you recommend starting with chickens and then expanding to a cow immediately? Or would you go with, you know, goats or something else? And how much land would be needed for all of this?
Okay, so I know a lot of people go the goat route first. The reason why we did not do that is because goats are a pain in the ass. So
can confirm. Like,
A cow isn't. A cow is like a big dog, you know, like they really just kind of keep to themselves and they like you and, you know, but like they're not trying to like tear shit up. They're not trying to eat your house. They're not trying to climb the barn. And so.
And you still have grass left over where milk they are. Is more,
right. That and the milk from a cow is more palatable to me. Like, I don't really want goat milk. I don't know. I guess a lot of people go the goat route because a cow is just big, you know, or maybe it seems like it's a big undertaking, but honestly, it hasn't been this huge life-changing thing for us. It's kind of all just, like I said, they're pretty self-sufficient other than, you know, I wouldn't even have to do as much with them if I wasn't trying to, tame them.
Right.
Which, like I said, that went really easy. Like within a week they were eating pellets out of my hands. So, you know, there's a lot of people that give advice saying like, don't get a cow that isn't already, on a halter or isn't already being milked or all of these things. And, I think that's really kind of poor advice because we were able to get two cows that were both pregnant for the cost of one cow.
Oh, wow.
And they're tame and friendly now, you know, and it all happened very quickly. So I don't think that it's a bad route to go to try to find a good deal on a cow. Sure. Anyway, to start out homesteading, I would say start with chickens. They're super easy. They're super cheap. Everybody can use eggs.
Sure.
And so I would definitely start there, and then I would get a cow. I mean, if your family does dairy, like we're big dairy consumers, so that like drastically cuts down a grocery bill. If you have milk, butter, and cheese covered, then that's drastically reducing a grocery bill. And like I said, and then their calf, you can also eat the calf.
Sure.
And to have one butchered, you pay like about $1.50 a pound.
Not so bad.
You know, and when you're looking at $7.99 for a pound of ground beef now, that it's damn near free to have one butchered. And space wise, you don't need a lot of it. Like I said, we are on 8 acres. The house in our yard and, you know, kind of like our space takes up about 2 of it. We have the cows on 1.5, but we don't have to. We made it that way because, in case we want to get more.
Sure.
And the chickens, you know, like I said, that can take anywhere from like one of those little lawn tractors that you move all over the place to, you know, like a Taj Mahal of a chicken coop. It really just depends on. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I learned from the first. Okay. So I will say that I made one originally that, I thought it looked nice. It didn't take up a lot of room, but cleaning it was a pain in the ass. Like it was terrible to clean it because you had to like kind of climb inside of it to scoop all the, wood chips and stuff out of it. And so when we built this one, we made it to where you could just walk into it.
Right.
Like it's human size to use.
Yeah, instead it looks like it's like a shed, like a little barn style shed.
Basically. Basically. But like the ones that are like chicken size, you have to remember that you're also going to have to get down to chicken size to clean it out. And I just didn't really want to do that. anymore. So cleaning it was a pain. And so was, you had to store all of your chicken stuff somewhere else. So like I had to store the food somewhere else, the wood chips somewhere else, the stuff to clean it somewhere else. And so in a larger coop, you can store everything in there. You can just walk into it to clean it. You can walk into it to get your eggs out. And it just makes it a lot more convenient. But if you're limited on space, I definitely wouldn't let the cleaning it stop you. And I would get a smaller coop sure. that you can hide from people, or you can move around the yard so it's not making a permanent, any permanent damage to the yard either.
Right, right. So then what's next? You said you're thinking about getting more cows. Are you going to add anything else to the menagerie?
We are thinking about expanding where we have fenced off mm-hmm. for the cows so that we can get a bull.
Okay.
So that we can, let nature take its course and yes. impregnate these cows every year by itself. Instead of having to find like a loner bull or mm-hmm. Artificially inseminate or anything like that. We're wanting to be able to do that ourselves. And then that would also give us more land to have more cows to be able to sell some. Sure. Because it is profitable with them being easy to take care of. It would be nice to have more that we could sell, because the way that we have everything set up right now, it's just for us to be self-sustainable and not to make any kind of money off of it. But I think the next step would be finding a way to make some money off of it as well.
So if I can ask, what did your cows cost?
$400 a piece.
For the two. Oh, a piece. Okay.
For the two.
Okay.
So like if you look, for like a Jersey cow or a Dexter mm-hmm. cow or a Holstein from a dairy, mm-hmm. they're about $800 to $1,000 for a cow in milk. And mm-hmm. then you also have to like buy a calf to go with it right. so that it can take care of this, all this surplus of milk for you. And we went with a Dexter cow because they are dual purpose. They're a really good meat cow and they're a really good dairy cow.
Okay.
And they're also smaller. And because they're smaller, they eat less, they need less room. They're easier to work with. They're not as like cumbersome mm-hmm. feeling, you know, like I feel like if one kind of got rowdy, I'm not intimidated by it
sure.
because it's not gigantic. And they are a heritage breed. So their milk is, it's closer to like the A2 protein compound that's supposed to be easier to digest. Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody has milk allergies now, or like a lot of people have milk right. allergies now. And it's all supposed to be because of what we have done, like in dairy to make all these cows mass produce and we've bred them and bred them and bred them and bred them so that all they are good for is making milk now. And it right. has like changed the compound of their milk. Dexter cows have been around since like day one. And so their milk is the same. It's old milk, you know?
Right. It's like buying like an heirloom seed or something like
right.
that.
Right. Like they're called a heritage breed. But anyway, so they go for anywhere from $800 to $1,200 a cow, typically, and that's unregistered. Like if you get a registered one, they're more expensive. Mm-hmm. This family, they had like a lot of cows and they were getting overwhelmed with it. And she was also trying to build a new milking barn. So she wanted some money. And so they were just kind of unloading cows.
Gotcha.
And so, like I said, we got two. They were both pregnant and they were $400 a piece. So we got like a steal of a deal. We got like $3,000 worth of cows for $800.
Yeah, that's pretty outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, definitely. So then what else are you doing? You're also homeschooling, right? If we're going to take this, the full, full circle of libertarianism here and fully detach yourself from the state.
Yep. You know, I took, I put my daughter in public school for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a good fit for us. So I homeschooled her pre-K, kindergarten, and most of first grade. And then we took in some foster babies, and I was like completely overwhelmed because it's not what we signed up for, right? We signed up to take in a kid, mm-hmm. one kid, my daughter's age, so that she would have somebody to play with and right. things because she's homeschooled, right? And then they brought us two babies. So like my life, like it got crazy overnight. And so I put her in school so that she could go play with friends. And I had like one less kid to have to tend to nonstop. And that was just honestly for like a couple of months, and then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And so they quit going to school. They quit going to school again. And so we had to finish her school year homeschooling her like everybody else did.
Sure.
And we've decided to just stay that route. She's not going to go back. Because apparently after I got acclimated to learning how to take care of two babies, it was very easy to still homeschool her. But at first I couldn't, or I think I was putting too much of a pressure on myself, thinking that like I wasn't teaching her enough that day because I was getting so sidetracked with the babies. But now I kind of have a grasp on it. And so we just started her second grade school year yesterday. So we're back to homeschooling again. I also knew when Corona started being a thing, I was immediately worried about the school because like you heard about, you know, countries shutting down and mm-hmm. airports shutting down and places shutting down and people couldn't leave. And I was like, what if they closed the school? Like, what if we couldn't get our kid back? You know, I mean, I know that's super crazy, but that was one of my thoughts was, what if it got to that? Like, what if they can, I don't know, just shut things down to that capacity, or put any kind of regulations on her because she's there. Sure. And so we're going to homeschool her again. I just don't, I'm not about it. She wasn't really, she was really torn in public school anyway. Like she felt like she was missing out a lot because we had so much freedom before.
Right.
To, you know, we could just pick up and go to Houston in the middle of the week if we wanted to go visit friends. And then all of a sudden we couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my husband has like this super crazy work schedule. And so when she was in school, she barely saw him because she wasn't home all the time to catch him when he pops in and out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I definitely recommend it. I definitely recommend homeschooling. After I saw the course load at public school, I knew that I definitely was pushing myself too hard before.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you noticed how quickly your child finished all of their assignments, surely right. you shouldn't be worried about teaching them, you know, enough during the day. I'm sure right. you were doing just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think I was putting way too much pressure on myself because once I saw what they were actually making them do in school, I was like, holy shit, I've been making this way too hard. Like
right.
I've been doing way too much for school. I could really cut it back. And so the plan was to let her finish first grade there and homeschool her for second grade. And then the school year just kind of got cut off at spring break. So it got handled for me.
Yes. So I'm certainly, I'm pushing. So we have three as well. They're older. My son is probably going to stay in public school because he plays sports. Mm-hmm. My two daughters, though, they're the youngest, and I'm pushing hard. We've gone back and forth about whether or not to do it. We've done, you know, private, charter, public, all of the above, except homeschool. Although we do some like Abeka, like during the summer, just to kind of keep them, either catch them up or make sure that they're on pace. But I'm certainly pushing hard now to just like, like, please, babe, just let me like, which is like the Ron Paul curriculum. Yes. Like it's self-guided videos, you know, it should be really easy. So what, I know I've asked you before, but for our listeners, what resources do you recommend? What curriculum do you like to use? And, you know, kind of what are some of the pros and cons of the things that are out there?
All right. So first of all, to touch on what you're saying about your son doing sports, they do have available to do homeschool through the public school system. I think it's k12.com or something like that. Mm-hmm. Basically, he would be enrolled in the public school system, but he would be at home doing all of his classes, and then he would still be able to participate in your local school's sports and prom and all of for that. Sure. So that's something that's out there too. What I do is Charlotte Mason based. She is real big on letting the child lead the way of what they want to learn, kind of. So everything is like a short 10-minute lesson, unless the kid is really into it and digging into it and wanting to know more and learning more. And then you kind of go that route with them. Like you give them all the information that they're wanting about that. Sure. But if you're on something that they're just completely checked out of, you make like a 10 minute limit. And then you can touch back on it later so that you've been able to still cover that curriculum. But like for her, she doesn't like math. Like that's just the thing that she checks out on. And Charlotte Mason is really big on nature study as well.
Right.
And so like I've taken a lot of her math and done it, like combined it with the nature study. So if we're sitting there doing math and she's checking out, then we go outside and I'm like, okay, go get 7 pine cones. And like, mm-hmm. So she's running around the yard getting pine cones and she brings them back. I'm like, okay, go get 8 rocks. And she brings them back. And I'm like, you have 7 pine cones and 8 rocks. How many things do you have? And so like, she's learning math that way. It's hands on and it's giving her something to do, because when we sit down and do it on paper, like she's over it. She's over it in like 6 minutes. And so the only way that I can actually get her to focus on that part of things, is making it very hands on. Also, this is all basically free. We use Blossom and Root. It's like maybe $100. For a year. I think that they go up to 4th grade. Mm-hmm. And it's Charlotte Mason based. And then I buy an outside source. I use an outside source to get her math and spelling to add to that. And I go that route because a lot of most of homeschooling curriculums are Christian based. And I don't want to teach her that. I want school to be about school instead of like about God. So like I want her to learn literature and history and science and math. And I want her to learn all of those things. And then like, if she wants to know about God, she can learn that outside of school.
Sure.
And so I kind of had to piece together different curriculums to make that happen because, you know, like if you just Google second grade homeschool, the first 50 things that pop up are like different Christian curriculums. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm kind of rambling about that or not.
No, you're fine.
We went the Charlotte Mason route. Blossom and Root is like the core curriculum, that covers science, history, literature, and art. They do not have a math and a spelling curriculum. So I get that from a Christian source, but they can't, you know, they don't add that into their math.
Sure.
So we use Abeka for math. And then spelling is My Father's World or something like that. but it works really well for us. And so much of it is nature study. So like we just go outside and walk around, and like I make her tell me about, you know, different things that she sees, and then she's able to learn about photosynthesis and fungus and all of these things from like what she thinks is just going outside to take a walk with me. Mm-hmm. But like she ends up actually learning things, and then I test her on it.
Sure.
And she's graded on it. And like I said, it all falls under the Charlotte Mason idea of homeschooling, which is to let a kid be a kid. So instead of going into an institution and sitting down at a desk for 8 hours and being told to sit still and be quiet and do your work, she gets to run and play and look and feel and, you know, find things and learn that way. But it is still very, I know that sounds like all hippy dippy or whatever, but it is still very structured, and she's still graded. And when I threw her into the public school out of nowhere, she was on the A honor roll. So she's not, you know, she's not dumb. Yeah. I know it sounds very hippie and like she's not learning, but, you know, she was reading on a second grade level when I put her in the first grade public school. Mm-hmm. Was reading on a second grade level, knew all of her sight words, and this is all just from us like hanging out, you know, like
just she observation she, and conversation yeah. about things and
right,
which is kind of the so way it's I would definitely supposed
recommend
to be.
It, you know, yeah, it's you get to spend more time with your kid. Your kid gets more real life hands-on experience because they're not in a building every day. You know, I know that a lot of the homeschool naysayers, it's because people are teaching them like a Christian-based homeschooling. But like I said, we don't do that. You know, we're not making it about that. So like she still is very well versed on like current topics because she's around when I have the news on, or you know, instead of just being in school and being kind of like blinded to all of those things.
That's good. So, see, most of the time my kids are blindsided with my rants about things. I'm a little anti-news, and
yeah,
I'll hear them mention something and I just kind of go off on a tangent about some random thing and why they shouldn't believe whatever it was that they heard. So
yeah, I did have to teach her that she has to watch what she's saying to other adults, because like we went over to my mom's house and my mom had on Fox News, and mm-hmm. Zoe was like, Fox News is trash, Trump is trash, grandma. And I was like, Zoe, stop. Like, stop. You can't say these things to adults. So she's still, you know, she still gathers information. But anyway, that's what we do. That's nice. That's the kind of homeschooling that we do.
And so don't worry. No one's going to think it's super hippy dippy. They'll find you'll find you know, some compatriots here on this on this show. So
yeah, so it's definitely a doable thing to like just spend time with your kid and get out in nature and do stuff. You know, like I took her on a 3 or 4 week road trip. Like we just traveled all over the U.S. and camped and did stuff. And, you know, I have like people look down on us around here when they find out that she's homeschooled. Like, why wouldn't you just have her in the public school? But then like when she did go to school and they were learning about the states and the capitals, she was like, I've been there, because she's seven and she's been to like 42 states.
Right.
Because she's not stuck in school all day.
Sure.
So she's getting like, she gets to be cultured, you know, at a very young age, because she's mm-hmm. not a slave to the 8 to 3.
Right.
Monday through Friday.
Raise your hand to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So I'm kind of surprised that they're a little judgmental where y'all are about that. That seems opposite of what I would have expected.
No, they really are. And I think that it's because everybody is obsessed with the high school football players. Like, if you don't, so we still go to the games because it's football.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
Texas, by God.
Right. But, but I think that they take offense to it. Like, why would you not want to be a part of this? Why would you not want to go to our great little bitty school? And, you know, why don't you want to be a Wildcat? And it's like, you know, that's not the reason why. None of that's the reason why. I like the little small town pride and the small town football and all of that, but I just want more for her than going to school every day. Like, I think every adult, when you look back on it, like, you hated going to school. I hated going to school. Nobody liked to do it, but we had to do it because that was the option that we were given. Our parents worked all the time. We were latchkey kids and we went to school. But I feel like if I'm able to give her a different choice, then I should, instead of just making her do it just because that's what kids do.
Sure. But, so anything else? Do we miss anything?
I don't think so.
Whether it be homeschooling or homesteading or anything else.
Taxation is theft.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. Breaking news on Erase the State. So anyway, plugs. Like I mentioned, you're one of my favorite authors. And did you have another book coming out? What happened with? I'll let you plug everything, but I'm curious what happened with that.
So I am writing my other book. The timeline of it is not anywhere near what it was.
Okay.
Before we got the babies. Like literally, I ran that Kickstarter last year.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that this book would be done and out in June of this year. And the Kickstarter closed, and 3 days later we got two babies on our doorstep. So, so that has like really trashed my timeline for this book, but it's still happening. And so if we're plugging things, I do have another book available on Amazon. called Ugly Christians and the Beautiful Solution. And yeah, so the new one will be called So Much Intention, but it's definitely a work in progress at this point. It's not near as complete as it should be, but what about other media? Kind of wild. I have a podcast. I do, called Troubadours and Tubs. And so I talk to artists on the Texas music scene or Americana red dirt scene. I make them sit in a bathtub full of water, and I sit in a bathtub full of water, and we Skype. And I put those on YouTube, but I also put the audio only version on anywhere you can find a podcast for people that don't want to watch videos. And that's been pretty fun, you know, like I spend the first like 5 minutes of those just laughing because I can't really believe that I've gotten this person to sit in the tub.
Yeah.
but they've been pretty fun so far.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. We're glad to have you. As things progress, we'll be happy to have you back.
All right.
Folks, y'all know what to do. Like, share, subscribe, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your cow. We'll see y'all next week. Peace. Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky tonk filled with one night stands. Take a telly on fire with a gun so steel. In a dark house space just to seal the deal. Yeah, top 40 country, better watch your back. Cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.